Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is January 21st, 2020, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is It's All About the Bays, No Fisher. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Dan Lane. Dan has a PhD in clinical epidemiology from the University of Toronto, and he's currently attending the University of Calgary as a medical student. Welcome to the SGEM, Dan.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, I know the burning question every SGEMer is probably thinking, how did you end up getting interested in clinical epidemiology?
Isn't everyone interested in clin-epi?
Oh, boom, drop the mic. Exactly. That's my thought. I don't know why everybody who's a clinician isn't interested in clinical epidemiology. But I also wanted to point out, Dan, I went to the U of C as well for medicine.
I knew that, Ken. I don't think it's ever been the same since.
Well, it's nice to know that I may have left a bit of a legacy. But every year, the upper class of students give the incoming class an animal name. So what is your class animal name?
I'm a proud limpkin.
A limpkin? What's a limpkin?
Limpkin is a screeching stork that lives in the Florida Everglades.
Ooh, cool. Can you give us the sound that the screech makes?
No.
You cannot produce the screeching sound?
No.
All right. Well, the class of 1995 was named the Quokkas. And that is this, oh, cute little marsupial. And in fact, I hope to go back this year to Calgary because it's going to be my 25th med school reunion. Yes, Dan, it does go by fast. But we're not here for me to reminisce about medical school. You have some pet peeves when it comes to studies and statistics and how they're used in critical appraisals. So I was wondering, Dan, could you give me, I don't know, one, two, hey, how about five, your top five pet peeves when it comes to clin-epi and studies? And it doesn't have to be in any particular order.
All right. Well, let's start with one that you talk about on the SGEM a lot. One of my pet peeves is when studies focus on relative estimates when it's absolute estimates that clinicians care about most.
Oh, I absolutely want to see absolute risks. And I'm also absolutely sure that you don't want to meet some of my relatives. But what's the second one?
When studies focus on the p-value rather than the effect estimates that they're generating.
Yes, that reminds me of that Yoda meme. Judge me by my p-value, do you? All right, that's two of them. Got any more?
My third one would be using the maximum amount of information. And George Box said it best in his quote, "All models are wrong, but some are useful."
Okay, so that's using the maximum amount of information. What's the fourth?
Focusing on classification metrics like sensitivity and specificity instead of prediction metrics that give more information and are more useful to clinicians.
And for my favorite number, number five, what do you got?
It's got to be about the bays.
Oh, it's got to be about the bays, baby. Well, we are going to do some more in-depth SGEM extras on each and every one of those five pet peeves that you have, because I know that you have some pet peeves. And I've just learned that bays is your favorite one because it's all about the bays.
Bays rules.
Well, the purpose of this SGEM extra, besides to introduce you to the SGEM audience as a new faculty member, it's also to announce we're adding this exciting, at least very exciting for me, new segment of the SGEM. And it's going to be called Statistically Significant. And I know you love that whole significant idea, don't you, Dan?
Oh, don't even get me started.
So we want to make the SGEM even better. And to do that, we're going to address some of the criticisms from the clin-epi world about us, clinicians, trying to do critical appraisal. And in order to do that, we've recruited you, a PhD in clin-epi, Dan the Man Lane, who will be commenting on each of the SGEM episodes, taking the SGEM to a new, uber nerdy level. Just when you thought wearing glasses with a little bit of tape on the nose piece wasn't enough, oh no, we're going to go farther. We're going to go to another level. the pocket protector level.
I don't see anything wrong with pocket protectors, Ken.
No, there is nothing wrong with that. These statistically significant segments will be posted probably midweek just to give the episode a little bit of a kick.
We're going to try to put these episodes out each Wednesday and go a little nerdier.
And why not have the first installment of Statistically Significant. Yes, that's the name. You've got to remember it. It's significant. It's more than just statistically significant. I think, Dan, you're going to make this also clinically significant. But the first installment of Statistically Significant segment is going to be on this week's SGEM Hot Off the Press episode, looking at troponin testing in the elderly patients presenting with non-specific complaints. What's the uber nerdy point that you picked out of this episode?
Well, we're going to start by criticizing sensitivity and specificity.
Ooh, that's a good one, because this episode actually looked at regular troponin, and we actually didn't get into that high sensitivity troponin.
No, Ken, it's not about the sensitivity of the troponin, but rather the statistical test of sensitivity, you know, true positives, and specificity, which are true negatives. These are basic concepts that are used throughout epidemiology that I think are flawed, and it's important for clinicians to understand why.
Ooh, that's why we brought you in here, to be clear about the concepts that we use in ClinEpi, to talk about the fundamental core concepts like sensitivity and specificity. Okay, so what I'm going to do now, S-Gemmers, is I'm going to splice together the first statistically significant segment with Dr. Dan Lane.
Despite their dogmatic use in the literature, sensitivity and specificity have a number of limitations that are rarely considered or addressed in diagnostic test studies. Sensitivity and specificity are crude metrics, meaning they only look at the effect of a single measure and a single outcome. As crude measures, they fail to incorporate any other information into their estimates, including potential confounders for the relationship between the test result and the outcome. In this particular study, age is part of the primary objective for the study, their geriatric patients. But it is also a confounder of the relationship between troponin level, which may increase with age, and acute coronary syndrome risk, which also increases with age. When confounders like age are present, crude measures will be influenced by the prevalence of confounders in each of the groups. For example, if there were more patients in the troponin-positive group that were older, the estimates for sensitivity may be inflated. Another limitation of sensitivity and specificity is these metrics require a test result be classified as positive or negative. This is problematic when the real measure is a continuous measure, such as troponin. In the current study, the test was considered positive if the troponin level was above the 99th percentile for that enzyme. But this arbitrarily treats patients above or below the 99th percentile as homogeneous groups, meaning the statistics consider everyone above the threshold to be the same and everyone below the threshold to be the same. Consider a patient with a troponin right below the threshold and another patient right above the threshold. Surely these patients are almost identical in terms of their risk for having ACS. But by inserting an arbitrary break into the measure, the statistics will treat them as different groups, resulting in more misclassifications simply because a threshold for a positive or negative was selected. Instead of these binary classifications, researchers should focus directly on the patient's risk for the outcome. This can be represented using probabilities and a smooth curve that show the probability of acute coronary syndrome based on the exact troponin value. Using simple statistical models, these probability estimates can be adjusted for confounders like age, and provide easily interpretable probability estimates for the entire range of troponin values. No classification is required.
Okay, S-Gemmers, let me know what you think of this idea. We have a few more of these statistically significant segments lined up, and we'd love to hear your feedback, and it's always appreciated.
I'm looking forward to hearing how my interpretation helps you at the bedside.
Well, until our next episode, remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.